B-Pod Studios.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
They're in the dugout?
Yeah.
Well, this is the only other time. And I remember, and the expression on the faces of some of these players Saturday when Gabe was getting thrown out and he was all animated was very similar to what I saw in Miami all those years ago. And I'll never forget Pat Burrell back in 06 or 07 while Charlie Manuel's on the top step yelling at everyone. Pat Burrell was flossing. And that wasn't a dance yet, by the way. Uh-huh. I'm talking, he was had dental floss and was flossing the tobacco, I think it was, out of his teeth. And I was like, well, I don't know if this is going to work. And sure enough, it did. They ended up winning the division in the World Series.
But it's funny how Gabe, like, even with the other, I guess you call it hump or whatever, when the other guy came up, and Gabe was like, oh, you want some of this too?
Yeah.
Oh, you want some too? Gabe then, said, all right.
And he was animated with that. I'll talk to you next.
Yeah. You're cool, but you. I mean, he was going in. But he made sure that he kept proper distance away from the other guys.
Yes, he wasn't within spitting distance. Yeah, the bill of the cap never came in contact.
Yeah, you know, he was still under control. Mm-hmm. I don't think you ever want to see Gabe totally lose it. Everybody in this stadium might be in trouble.
It's the,
like, if Gabe really just loses it, everybody grab your kids, let's go. You need to go.
Well, he was definitely into it on Saturday. And I loved watching it. You want to see that emotion from your manager.
I would love to hear the sound of it.
Oh, yeah, that would be awesome.
You know, every manager's like, you know, that's a bleeping BS call, and they go on and on and on. Gabe, I don't know. I would love to hear
it. So poetic. Mm. And aggressive.
I vehemently disagree with your last decision.
Do you
think he would use a curse word?
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah,
he did over the weekend.
I hope so.
Huh? He did yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
He said they played like, shoot, is what they played like.
Okay. So Gabe, all right.
All right.
So Gabe would use a curse word, huh?
Yeah, how about that?
Gabe's getting off street on us.
Yeah.
I have it. You want to hear Grandma's Gabe curse?
Well, yeah, let's hear that.
Oh, okay. All right, go ahead, Jamie.
It's not one thing in particular. Sometimes it's lack of execution. Sometimes it's lack of perfect sequencing. Sometimes the hitter kicks our ass. And it's a combination of all those things right now. And it has to get better. And, I mean, that's what this game is all about. It's ebbs and flows. It's times of performance and times of successes. And we get together as a group in the tough times. We fight together. That's what we're doing right now.
Wait, what did he say there at the beginning? It's you and I both looked at each other and kind of rolled our eyes.
Awful sequences.
It's not one thing in particular. Sometimes it's lack of execution. Sometimes it's lack of perfect sequencing.
There it is. Lack of perfect sequencing.
What is that?
I have no idea, Trey.
Lack of perfect sequencing.
I've never heard that in my life.
Maybe that's what he said to the ump. He said maybe your sequencing of calls there was terrible.
Yeah.
It was lacking.
I think what that means, in all honesty, is not getting timely hitting.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so...
God, what the hell, man?
Yeah. Can we get the sound? We really need to get the sound of him just... You know, how is that possible?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Oh, wait, in terms
grammar
of him yelling
time.
At the ump?
Yeah.
I don't know if he was mic'd up.
I would love to hear it.
That would be
amazing. I think it would be
somebody
phenomenal.
Has it. You have to. With all the cameras out there and everything.
Somebody
has it.
Come on, Mark.
I'm sure.
Get it.
Yeah, right.
Come on, Mark.
Let's see if we can find
it. Yeah.
Pull strings.
Yeah, pull some strings. Come on.
I'll find somebody.
You know people.
You know what? We'll do bad lip reading. I don't think it'll work in radio, but we'll try it. 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 7 o'clock hour, brought to you by Univest Bank. Handle all your banking remotely with Univest mobile platform. Easy, convenient, and secure. Live life, stay connected with Univest Bank. If you're just joining us and you watch the Phillies over the weekend, I don't see how Gabe Kapler can possibly survive the events of the weekend. And yes, the obvious is out there. If you just check the box score, you know this team played terribly. If you just check the record, 1-9 in their last 10. 6 of 16 in their last 22. They went from first place on May 29th by 3.5 games to now 6.5 games out of first place behind the Braves here on June 24th. There is no excuse for that. Look, does Gabe Kapler hit? No. Does he pitch? Absolutely not. But to watch this team still have no accountability whatsoever is just ridiculous. When does it ever matter, though, if you're going to move on from a manager? When it comes to whether or not a team hits, it's never mattered. Now, if they hit, he looks pretty brilliant. If they don't, and they play like this, they look pretty dumb. And watching balls fall in that should be caught, watching Gene Segura not hustle, watching Cesar Hernandez on back-to-back days, both he started in both these games, have lackadaisical, boneheaded plays on the base paths, is inexcusable. And players not hustling, players making stupid plays, having situations where the lineup is being shuffled and you're not having any results come from that. There's no better reason for than those to move on from a manager other than when a player laughs at you. And that's what happened with Bryce Harper when somebody brought up the idea of the curveball machine coming in to save the day. When Gabe Kapler mentioned it in his postgame press conference yesterday, I said, okay, yeah, whatever you got, whatever it takes. When Bryce Harper, we'll let you hear the audio coming up in a little bit. When Bryce Harper answered the question about how do you feel about a pitching machine being brought in, and he laughed at it and then had to literally tell people, hold on a second, I'm just thinking how to answer this. That means he's trying to find the right words so he doesn't throw his manager under the bus, so he doesn't hang him out to dry, and maybe, I don't know, really say the damning thing. But really, it's already said. Me personally, I would move on from Gabe Kapler. But I don't think it's going to happen with the Phillies. I don't think Matt Klentak is making that call. I don't think he is going to say this year that he's going to fire the guy that is his first managerial hire after a season and a half. If you're asking for a prediction, I don't think Gabe Kapler is getting fired. If you're asking me what I would do, I would move on from that manager. There's no way. There's no way I see him bouncing back with this team. No way I see it happening. They might go back to being a 500 baseball team. And look, they're, eight games under 500 right now? Over the last 22 games, I don't see how he could be a 500 manager the rest of the way. He looks like a guy who has completely lost his team. And when your $330 million offseason investment is laughing at your manager, who do you think wins that battle?
We love it. We love it. I think it's incredible.
Yeah, but it also shows that your $330 million man isn't willing to do whatever it takes to win.
Mm-hmm.
And he's laughing at it because maybe you have other players that may need that work, but you're making them feel like, you know what, Bryce thinks this is a joke, so maybe I shouldn't do it either.
Mm-hmm.
That's damning on Bryce.
I agree with you.
Yeah, so...
But who wins the battle?
Well, just because he's a $330 million man doesn't mean that he can't be held accountable.
Oh, I don't disagree with you.
So he should be checked just as well. I mean, you know... That
almost makes Gabe look good, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah, you know...
Here's your manager trying to do something. Who the hell are you hitting 244 to
exactly.
be... To scoff at your manager because he's trying to help you?
You know Mike Trout right now.
Yeah, right.
Not even a little bit.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, let's be real with it. You know, when you're looking at two of the major signings for this, he's killing it.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
Right.
You're sitting up here laughing at something that a manager is suggesting to make your own players feel bad about maybe you needing a little extra work?
I agree with that. But when in baseball, like, are they going to all of a sudden trade Bryce Harper?
Yeah, you can't do that. So, you know, but that's just, I don't know. To me, that's just not the sign of a good leader.
Oh, and I agree with you. Yeah. Maybe Bryce Harper isn't meant to be a leader here.
Mm.
I still look at Rhys Hoskins, like, this is his team. He's supposed to be the leader.
Did we lose our leader? Because I think they're 5-11 since his injury.
Since Andrew McCutchen?
It's hard to look back at just one guy as the reason for all this. But maybe he was the team leader.
Yeah.
I think we grossly underrated how much he meant to the team at the leadoff position, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's the
kind of comic relief, keep everybody even keel type of dude. Maybe that was a bigger loss than just on the field.
It certainly seems like it. Let's talk to Graf in media. Hey, brother.
Sorry, yeah. I'm ordering my breakfast. My bad.
Oh,
man.
That a guy?
What are we having today, Graf?
I'm stopping at McDonald's again and that's nothing, man.
Solid.
Treat yourself. Yeah, that's how you start the morning.
Ain't nothing wrong with some golden arches.
Yo, so I dropped that little stat, the 5-11 Andrew McCutchen stat. And the truth is like, I'm a humongous fan of the dude. Always have been my entire life. And he's the veteran leadership that everyone's been talking about. I mean, the guy was at the top of your lineup. He was hitting pretty decently. He gets on base. He's a highly intelligent base runner. He's great in center field or left field, but obviously he had to take over center after Odubel got kicked.
Right.
So, like, my biggest thing is just, Gabe is a nerd, man, and I'm a nerd. And I can't stand when nerds get up and talk and start dropping nerd talk and it doesn't apply. Like, perfect sequencing? Dave, there is no such thing as perfect sequencing in baseball. It is a human sport. It's not played by robots. Nothing is perfect about baseball. That's why baseball is perfect. And then the thing that drives me absolutely nuts about him most is the fact that he is willing to sit up in front of all of us, and it's kind of patronizing. The dude is a pain, man. I can't watch it. No one pays attention to him.
It seems it seems like the team agrees with you because they do not respond to this manager even a little bit.
No, and the thing that drives me crazy, Mark, is we all say, oh, well, we shouldn't compare him to Charlie Manuel or managers of the past. Dude, Charlie Manuel is the same guy that benched Jimmy Rollins, one of his best players, because he didn't run a ball out the first base. Mm-hmm. Like, we're talking about a dude who wasn't afraid to pull some of his players because they weren't making correct decisions. Thanks very much, man.
All right.
And it drives me absolutely insane. The guy is, I'm just not a fan of the dude. Not a fan of the dude even in the slightest. And you know what? If they make the playoffs, great. I'll go back to watching some baseball. Call me a Fairweather fan all you want. I'm not going to waste my time watching a guy. Like, Bob, you want to continuously say, oh, Bryce Harper needs to hit. How about you put him in a spot in the lineup and keep him there? He's moved him five different times in five different games. He's moved everybody. Mm. He doesn't rely on anything. He doesn't rely on any of his lineup. He doesn't rely on any of his bullpen. He has no gut instinct. The guy doesn't go with any flow. He always needs play. Like, it is absolutely absurd. How are you going to get any production if you don't give people the ability to sit in one spot and get comfortable with it? Mm. He doesn't have a bullpen, and I get it. I get it. I understand it. He needs more bullpen players. Understandable. But at the same time, when he did have one, he didn't have a rotation. He didn't have any setup. He didn't have a guy to set up a freaking closer. He didn't have a closer. Like, it's so tiring. The dude is not that smart. Kick him out. Get rid of him. He's making you all look stupid because he uses big words.
Thank you for
Grant. If you need an egg McMuffin,
enjoy that. Well, I think most people are with Graf right now. And here's our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. If you're searching for window shop, windownation.com. Sam Wilson, what do you have for us?
This morning we asked, do you have confidence Gabe Kapler can turn this team around? We have just under 1,200 votes today. 79% said no, they do not have confidence in Gabe.
He's lost his people. He has lost his people. Window Nation brings us that Twitter poll. 50% off sale Window Nation on any style window, plus no down payment, no payments, no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. We got Anthony, we got Mike and KOP. We got open lines after that, 610-632-0975. We did have some more good news, not just about Chase Utley and how much we enjoyed that, but Trey, your boy was looking pretty good. Talk about him coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
Oh, yeah, the song takes me back. Please tell me this is one of yours, Trey.
No, it's definitely not.
It's not?
I've been calling for it to be.
What? You know,
yes.
This is an American classic.
Yeah, exactly.
Trey wants this on the chop block.
caught these numbers from Dan Roach, who does the, he produces the Mike Misnelli Show from NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Yes, he does.
The TV version of the
Booney
show. Booney's a great producer. And he put these numbers out last week. I saw this here. With Andrew McCutchen out of the lineup, the Phillies' batting average, 123. On base percentage, this is for leadoff hitters, excuse me. Leadoff hitters for the Phillies. Batting average 123. On base percentage 219. Slugging percentage 158. Extra base hits 1. All those statistical categories are last in Major League Baseball.
Hmm.
And that's since Andrew McCutchen's knee injury on June 3rd.
Hmm.
Good times, am I right?
Yeah.
Just some good news. Brandon Brooks put out a little tweet over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
A little video of him shuffling his feet, backing up, a little pass-blocking formation. What do you call that? Oh, what's that drill?
It's what you do. It's a kind of a mirror drill where you set it at 45 power step, set it at 45 power step. So it's just kind of like a wave drill that offensive linemen do.
It's power stepping.
Power stepping is when you go inside. So you set it at 45. So you set it at a 45 degree angle, then you power step inside. So you want to make sure you slide at an angle, but you make sure that you're flat going back inside. Slide at an angle going out, flat back inside.
That's what she said.
Yeah, but you have to be sure.
Dynamite. Yeah,
good job. But the key to it is that you have to make sure that you're going flat when you're working back inside. Because if you work upfield, then now if you... If, okay, So the whole purpose of this drill is to work if you're getting a game. So you step out, you're setting outside to your outside guy, then you work back inside, and then you work back out. If you set, when you go back inside, you cannot go upfield, because now if there's a looper coming back outside, then now you have to kind of make that ground back up to go work out. So it's just a drill.
Bottom line,
he's looking good.
He's looking good.
Yes, he is. I'm sorry.
Let me translate.
There's a whole lot for he's looking really good.
Yeah, no. But the point is that he's coming off the injury.
Yeah.
People are optimistic that he'll be ready for week one. Do you think that happens?
I think so.
Wow.
I think so. If not week one, it'll be right in there, the first half of the season. I think that he's been progressing extremely well. He's been doing a lot of work, man. He's been putting it in.
And I don't mind him putting out video and stuff like that. I want to see him doing better and better, and he certainly looks like he has been doing that. He's been keeping us updated, whether that the boot is on or whatever, whether the lady next to him on a plane is wearing shoes or not and socks. You know, he's really keeping us abreast of everything.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. He's keeping us in the know.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, somebody else who was a little social media active over the weekend, that Benjamin Simmons.
Ah, yes, I saw one of his posts.
So the Phillies lose,
uh-huh.
And I'm scrolling. I'm on the old Insta, right? And I'm scrolling.
By the way, real quick, when you mentioned Brandon Brooks and the shoes off on the airplane.
Yes.
Something similar, yesterday at the Phillies game, the guy busts his shirt off right next to, I was sitting next to a guy that actually listens, Jordan. Nice to meet you, Jordan.
Oh, okay.
Guy right next, he taps me on the shoulder and he goes, "Hey, guy at the end of the row just busted his shirt off. What are your feelings on that?" I was like, pretty weird. It's pretty weird.
Well, it was hot yesterday.
It was hot.
Mm. There's one. Here's where I'll allow it. If you're in the 400 level.
Nope.
And there's like 10 people. There's like 10 open chairs around you.
Yeah.
And you want to sprawl out.
That's fine.
They'll do a little break.
We were like right behind the first base dugout. Probably in TV view.
So wait, close confines then with other fans.
Oh yeah, very tight section.
Inappropriate. Mm.
Yeah, right? I was a little weirded out by it.
Where was the body fat? Like,
it wasn't good.
It was a high body fat guy?
Yeah, like I wouldn't have been...
Come on, dude, let the dad bod
sexy
fly,
now,
man.
Right? I'm not dad bod shaming. As a dad bod myself, I'm not dad bod shaming.
Well, is it a dad bod or was he obese?
Not obese. Well, he was more dad bod.
Dad bod, man.
Well, no, but I'm trying to clarify.
So dad bod.
Well, I understand that, but the dad bod is not obese.
But like, I don't need to see his sweaty underboob, like, sitting next to me.
Hey, man.
Sweaty underboob.
Underboob. You know.
No, like, just keep your shirt on, man.
Really?
Like, I just sweat through your shirt like off.
The first thing that pops into my head isn't sweaty underboob.
It was hot yesterday, man. I don't need to see this guy's sweaty, glistening chest in section 117. Like, relax.
It's not listen to Jamie.
Glistening
it's
chest.
The
yeah, because he's sweating.
Glistening is not, like, you don't
glistening
say glistening.
Sexy.
Glistening is like what a woman's like, anyway. Like, glistening
well,
is like a compliment.
Skin is sweaty, it's glistening, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is.
But glistening is like a good connotation.
Yeah. All right. A disgusting, fat, sweaty old man body. I didn't need to see it.
Wow.
That's all. Anyway, the shoes on the plane made me think of that. I was like, that's equally as weird as taking your shirt off of it at a game.
Age range of this fella?
45 plus.
Hey, man. Let the dad bod fly, man.
But hold on. Was it a dad bod or was the guy like fat?
Not like fat. Like
dad bod.
Yeah, dad bod.
Oh, okay.
It's just, it doesn't matter if you have a six pack or a dad bod. It's just a weird move.
Moobs?
Yeah, a little bit.
Little moves.
Yeah, it's like.
He said there was sweaty under boob or whatever he said.
Cup size.
Low A.
Yeah.
Low A. Yeah.
That's not even a handful.
Was Addie offended?
She was breastfeeding at the time, ironically.
There you go.
Sorry to derail. I just found it so weird.
In the seat or in the private area?
No, in the maternity nursing room. Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, you can't go public. Yeah,
thank God.
That's the new thing now. Yeah.
You got the swaddle cover. Yeah.
Thing you want is Skylar to get confused. Am I right?
Come on.
So sorry to derail you. I just thought that was weird yesterday.
Oh no, I'm derailed now. I have no idea what we're talking about. What's today? My wife says to me, she goes, when you said you had the attention span of a gnat the other day, I forget what we were talking about. I don't even know.
Exactly.
But, like, she was like, when you got into that, she was like, I was dying because you literally can't pay attention to anything. Well, what's really funny is, like, if I'm watching a game and my wife starts talking to me, I can recall things. Like, I'm right there, but I'm watching the game.
Yeah.
And she's just like, I don't know how you do that, but you have no attention span, but for this, you do. And I was like, well, I know I'm going to get in trouble if I don't pay attention to both.
I can channel my stupid. By the way, Gar tweets in real quick. He says, dad bods are out. I prefer father figure.
Huh.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So father figure.
I love that. I got my father figure on.
Yeah, there it is. I like
that's
that.
Solid.
We're really going to have to break that one in so people know what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah. Hey, you know, because I was doing some research. Doing some research for my next Blue Chew read, maybe. They say that the heavier set guys, we last longer.
Really?
Good for us.
Study show. So father figures.
Getting it done.
Who's
doing these surveys?
Hey, I don't know, Bob.
Twitter?
Like, has someone been in your room lately?
Listen,
or,
Bob,
like, do you have to clock
do,
in and clock out?
All I do is get the research and present it.
Okay. Interesting.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Speaking of, like, quirky things, I had my own incident yesterday during the Phillies game. I wasn't at the game. I was at home. And I, I'll get into this, but it's kind of would you eat it type of situation.
Oh,
yeah. Wait.
And you went for it.
I don't want to give it a.
Would you eat
I
it?
Asked
what
the
we,
people.
What are we talking about?
I made a steak quesadilla.
Oh, all right? Okay,
yeah. Oh, I saw this on Twitter.
Yeah.
No, I have a strong feeling on this, and I don't know which way you went because I didn't follow
just
up.
Basically, and coming up in a minute, we'll let you hear from Gabe Kapler and Bryce Harper about the little thing that I think is the absolute nail in the coffin for Gabe Kapler. But I'm trying to enjoy the Phillies game yesterday, and I'm hungry, and I have some leftover steak. I grilled up some steak for me and the missus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have some leftover steak in the fridge. And for the record, it was her leftover steak. I finished mine. Mm. And I like quesadillas, right? A little quesadilla, right? You enjoy a nice homemade quesadilla, right? So I'd made
one. Do you have the quesadilla maker, or do you do them in the stovetop?
No, I'm no spoiled man, okay? I flip my own quesadilla, all right? So I
have a lovely, like, $14.99 quesadilla maker. Big fan.
Okay, all right, so that's lovely. now, I have this frying pan. It's my quesadilla frying pan. You know how you have a go-to frying pan for certain things?
Sure.
Right? You know, I try to put my pans in the best position to make the best food.
Yeah.
So I take the frying pan.
And optionality.
Boom. And I put it in the sink, and it had been in the sink for a couple of days. And I'm like, well, let me just wash this, and I'll use it as the pan to bank my quesadilla. So I put it in the thing, and I wash it off, right? I rinse it nice.
Why can't I get past it was in the sink for a couple of days?
Oh, that's where dishes live. That's their natural habitat.
Right.
My wife hates that's how I live, but whatever. So anyway, I wash the thing, and I use the dish soap.
I feel like the pan presents beautifully in the sink.
And she goes, babe, why are the dishes in the sink? I'm like, because that's their natural habitat. So I get the pan, and I clean it, right? And I rinse off the soap, and I make my quesadilla. So I go to flip the quesadilla, the lovely, wonderful, presenting beautifully steak quesadilla, and I take the lid off, because I put a lid on to help the cheese melt, and I take the lid off, and I smell soap. I smell dishwashing soap.
Oh.
And not like, oh, this is a fresh pan, of course it smells like soap. Like, it smelled like I had made my quesadilla with soap. Like, it was a soap quesadilla. So I'm like, oh, okay, see how this plays out. So I flip it over, put the lid back on, and I'm like, nah, I'm sure it just had to air it out a little.
Is this just for you or for you and Sloth?
Just for me.
Okay.
Just for me. I'm home alone.
Oh, all right.
And I get done making it, and I take the lid off again, and I smell soap. Like, like, it didn't smell like steak. It didn't smell like quesadilla. It didn't smell like cheese. It smelled like soap. It smelled like dishwashing soap. So I put it on the plate, and I cut it up, and I look at it, and I go, moment of truth. So I tweet out what I just told you, which is I just made a soap quesadilla, basically, and with all the reasons that I was like, do I eat it or do I not? And at the time I made the decision, by the time I closed, it was like 650 votes, and it was 70% eat the quesadilla. And I'm like, I'm eating this quesadilla. I'm going in. So I eat the whole thing. Now, I don't taste a bit of soap. Not a bit.
Hmm.
5 minutes after I'm done eating, nothing but soap in my mouth like the rest of the day. I swear to you. Somebody was like, drink a beer, it'll get rid of the taste. I crushed a beer, still tasted like soap. I was like half expecting to burp a little bubble. Like, it was bad. I'm telling you, it wasn't like a little bit of soap smell in the pan. When I took it out, everything was fine. It didn't smell, nothing. But I ate it, and then I was tasting soap like the rest of the
That's
day.
That's awful.
Now, my wife gets the dish soap. She buys it at Whole Foods, so I know it's at least organic.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, exactly. So, whatever. I ate the quesadilla. Would you have eaten the quesadilla in that situation?
How hungry were you?
Eh.
It was more of a snack?
I was more bored.
Yeah.
I was watching the Phillies be terrible.
I probably wouldn't have.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Is that steak? I'm not wasting steak.
You didn't have to.
What do you mean?
Well, you have the quesadilla. Isn't all of your stuff inside the quesadilla?
Yes.
Turn it on. I would have taken it out, taken everything out of the inside of the quesadilla because the soap was absorbed by the quesadilla.
Ah, by the tortilla.
Take the innards out.
Right.
get another tortilla.
You would
and wash out the pan and start over
see,
again. No, that's how I'd have gone.
Bob, I thought about it. I was down to my final two tortilla. Yeah, I literally was. I used the final tortilla, so I would have had to use like an English muffin or something.
Yeah. Or I might have just eaten the innards and gone without the tortilla.
The innards, like your field dressing, this tortilla.
Well, you're eating soap, so.
Trey? I saw Sam out there typing something on the screen, talking about fake news. The big guy, the father figures don't have stamina. Don't hate.
Okay.
Don't hate. Yeah. Can't argue with science.
Exactly. Would you have eaten the quesadilla?
Oh, the quesadilla, no. No, I wouldn't.
I don't like the taste of soap.
I crushed it. Well, that's the weird thing. It didn't taste like soap.
Well, a couple minutes later, it did.
Aftertaste soap. Boom. Yeah.
No, that's not an aftertaste.
Is it gone today?
Yeah, no soap today. Right. Yeah. First thing I thought of when I woke up this morning, it was like,
please don't be soap.
I'm good. I'm good. Mike and KOP, Jamie's new best friend from what I was saying
yesterday.
What's up, Mike?
Yeah. We're buddies. Like, our kids are getting married. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be in-laws. It's fantastic.
Oh, I think friendship officially over.
It's actually pretty funny because my wife was like, look at that lady's carrier. And I was like, oh, that's Jamie Lynch. That's the guy I told you about. And that's like how I didn't even see him. My wife was the one that ran in, that figured it out.
She's respecting that ergo, baby.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice.
So, I had a nice time down at the field yesterday. I think I jinxed your team, but I think I jinxed the Phils and, you know, whatever. But,
you know what, Mike? I know you're reveling in this because you hate baseball, maniac.
I know. I actually had a really nice time. You know, the wife and I had a cocktail. The baby slept, and you know, because he was bored because he was watching baseball. But like,
horrible.
We had a nice day. It was a good time. There was a bunch of scantily clad girls that my wife kept pointing out for me because she's a real like trooper. So it was a good time. I forgot how nice it can be to be down at the baseball stadium.
Oh, man, it's better than a ballpark? Come on, man. It's the best.
Yeah. So, I know. But I got to say, I mean, comparatively, is this team on track to be, like, the dream team? Is this worse than the dream team? Or are we at that stage yet? Or what's your thought on that?
It feels like we're at that stage. But
I feel like they might be worse than the dream team because they spent way more money than the dream team spent to put this team together. And they're
right.
Getting you even worse.
Yeah, but in baseball, it's weird because there's such a longer shelf life. In football, you know that it's going to be one awful year. Like, there's no bouncing back, and then hopefully you can rebuild the following year. Baseball, it seems like, you know, that's guaranteed money. There's no outs in the contracts. Like, you're screwed, basically. And I feel like they can, look, if they do continue to go in the tank this year, if they're a middle-of-the-road team the rest of the way, I still would have confidence that next year they would put the right pieces together.
I don't know. I feel like they spent way too much money on trying to be a bashing team when you needed a pitcher and you need to bolster your bullpen. And I feel like they misspent their stupid money.
I agree with you. No, I agree with you.
I think Bryce Harper, like, I don't want to hate on Bryce Harper, but, like, he had one major season in 2015. And I don't know, like, if $330 million for what this guy's done for most of his career was really worth it.
I still would have done it. I still would have brought him in. He hasn't done anything we haven't expected.
I mean, Ryan Howard he got $125 million, and his numbers were way off the charts better than this guy's.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I agree with you.
I just don't see it.
But here's the other thing with Bryce Harper. Like, this is kind of what he has become. And last year, we expected him. Mike, thanks for the call, man. Last year, we saw him come out with the Nationals and be abysmal in the first half of the season. And then he was lights out. Or not lights out, but he was awesome in the second half. Now, what's different is that the power numbers last year were a lot better in the first half of the season than what they are now. I think he hit 11 or 12 home runs in May alone last year. Like, so the batting average certainly wasn't there, but the on-base percentage was good, the power numbers were there, but the batting average was terrible. Well, now the batting average is terrible, and the power numbers are lacking. So it's like you can't even say that he's producing runs for you.
No, but he's getting on base, and he's walking. He and Rhys Hoskins walk an awful lot.
Mm-hmm. That's great. They should be driving in runs.
3-2 pitches, if it's close, they're taking it.
Yeah, I put out a tweet over the weekend, and you know, I heard Rhys and Bryce are... Rhys and Bryce, jeez,
yeah.
I blacked out.
That's all right.
I got tongue-tied. Are 1-2 in the NL in walks. And I'm thinking to myself, like,
so what?
Right, clearly walks aren't a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
When it's your 3-4 hitters, guess what? Your 1-2 hitters should be getting more walks, and they should be knocking them in.
Mm-hmm.
they have a roster construction problem right now. If JT Realmuto should have like 55 plus RBIs with the amount that Bryce and Reese are getting on base, and he is 31. That's a major problem with this team. Like, walks are great and all, but not out of my 3 and 4 hitters, to be honest with you. And I had a lot of people being like, well, that's a bad take. They should strike out more. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. They should strike out. So, like, people were like, well, you think they should swing at balls? I'm like, I don't know. But their mindset sucks right now, to be honest. Like, I like walks as much as the next guy, but when you're not getting walked, knocked in, what good is a walk?
And plus, when you look at Rhys Hoskins' home runs, these balls are coming from low and away pitches that are almost out of the strike zone.
And I see Christian Yelich has 28 home runs. Bryce Harper, on his current pace, is going to finish with 26. A lot of people in the league right now have more than he's projected to get to in the entire season. Mm-hmm. So it's not good enough.
And before people call in and say, well, Jamie, Harper and Hoskins are batting 1-2 for the Phillies.
Well, now they are. It's recent.
Forget that.
And look what happened the other night. They finally hit home runs, and there's nobody on base because they're at the top of the order.
Are they still 0-3 with them in the 1-2 spot here?
Yes.
Okay, so.
They had two hits going into the eighth inning yesterday.
Yeah.
Two.
It's pathetic.
It really is. It's awful. Bases loaded, nobody out in the first inning yesterday. I'm thinking, like, okay, here's where you bust out 5, 6, 7 runs, something like that, you know, and here the train starts going. They get a hit from Segura, and that's it. Two runs, and then one hit the rest of the next 7 innings. Mm-hmm. Like, it's horrible. No. It is absolutely horrible.
It is abysmal. Now, I don't know how Gabe Kapler survives the little back and forth that happened last night with the with Bryce Harper and the media and himself with Gabe Kapler and just answering a question. And when Gabe said it, my eyebrows weren't raised, like bringing in a pitching machine to throw curveballs, basically. It's something the Phillies bought several years ago. That didn't really register.
No.
Like, okay, fine, do whatever it takes. Then they asked Bryce Harper about it in the locker room. And coming up, if you haven't heard it yet, we're going to let you hear Bryce Harper's response to his manager bringing in a curveball machine that exists, that is a thing, for batting practice before games. Because I believe the way Bryce Harper answered this question is the most damning nail in the coffin Gabe Kapler can have as the skipper of this team. If you're asking me what I would do, I'd move on from Gabe Kapler. If you're asking me for the prediction, it's not going to happen. Because I don't see Matt Klentak moving on right now after a season and a half of his first ever managerial hire. He inherited Pete Maccannon. He hired Gabe Kapler to go win. It's not working out right now, but I don't see him moving on after just a season and a half. 610-632-0975. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to talk, or excuse me, 20 minutes, we're going to talk to Jason Stark from The Athletic, get his thoughts on all things Phillies. Time at the Fanatic 740.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
So the list keeps on growing when it comes to evidence against Gabe Kapler. And look, is he hitting? No. Is he pitching? No.
But nobody is.
But nobody, exactly. He fits right in.
Aaron Nola was a good Friday night.
Aaron Nola was dealing. You know why? Because he loves Chase Utley. Everyone else hates Chase Utley, apparently. But I'm not a fire the manager guy. But I don't know how you can't look at this and go, oh yeah, Gabe can't be the guy anymore. Like, there's no way they're listening to him. There's no way he has control of this team. And the reason I don't go fire the manager or the coach all the time is because I think it's low-hanging fruit. Eventually, you're going to be right. Like, that's the thing about firing coaches. You give it, like, 2 years at the most, you're probably going to be right.
Yeah.
But when it comes to something like this, when you see a team not responding to him, when you see him in a situation there with without his key players, without guys in this lineup that you thought at the beginning of the year you could just pencil in and Gabe wouldn't have to meddle, well, now he's had to meddle, and it's not working out. They're not responding with production, and they're not responding to him with the way they play the game. And they're not playing smart baseball. They're not playing smart baseball a little bit, and they're not hustling. And that stuff does fall on the manager. It's ultimately up to the players whether or not a team wins. But when a manager isn't managing his team properly, this is the result. 1-9 in their last 10, 6-16 in their last 22, and also the worst hitting team in baseball for almost a month. Since May 30th, they're batting .222. The worst record in baseball.
And you want to hear something else? Oh. They're on pace to shatter the all-time home run allowed record.
Oh.
set by the Cincinnati Reds in 2016. They're on pace to beat that by about 16 home runs this year.
I thought we were the team that was supposed to be hitting the home runs. When's that going to start?
I don't know.
I would like to know when that's going to start.
The balls are juice for the entire league. Actually, Jason Stark's coming up. I read an article of his on The Athletic over the weekend about just that, the balls being juiced, and he convinced me they are.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently not for the Phillies, though.
No, they didn't get that shipment. They still have last year's shipment. Do you know, over the last 63 innings, the Phillies have led after only 5 of them.
That's pretty terrible.
That's horrible.
And that's Gabe's fault.
No, unfortunately it's not. Yeah. I mean, but again, since when has that mattered?
I know. I think a lot of people, they always, you know, like you said, that is low-hanging fruit because you don't want to hold the players accountable.
Right. That's the thing. I look at players before I look at coaches.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If a player steps up and has a clutch touchdown pass or a big 3-run home run or a pitcher is just lights out for you, that manager looks pretty brilliant because you're winning.
Mm-hmm.
It's that when you're losing and your team just looks dumb, that falls on the manager when it's the same mistakes, especially with the things that have happened already this season. Now, we'll get into this here, but real quick, on your home run note, Jamie, Matt Gell pointed out that the Phillies have been out-homered this year 129-91. They've allowed 129 home runs, and they've only hit 91.
That's not good.
That is what you call in baseball bad.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be too analytical. It's pretty bad. But here's the big thing. And this is what really I think is the nail in the coffin when it comes to Gabe Kapler. For me, I don't think he's going to get fired. I don't think he's going to get fired midseason or during this season or anything like that. But at the end of the year, I think they'll review it. But I don't think Matt Klentak is itching to fire his first ever managerial hire. So when you look at some of the things that have happened recently with Gabe Kapler just over this month, yeah, the Gene Segura situation, which means he didn't hustle twice. He had two conversations with the player, Gabe Kapler did, about hustling, and his player still didn't hustle. Then he had a situation come up multiple times with dumb base running mistakes. Mm-hmm. He can't get into Bryce Harper's head about not trying to take the extra base.
Yeah.
When everything's going wrong for you and you try to force it to go right, that's called quicksand. And that's where you just keep sinking deeper and deeper.
It seems like it's been 6 times he's been thrown out on different bases over the last month.
Cesar Hernandez can't take a hint. And he's not hustling. He's making bonehead decisions, whether or not it's not hustling or whether it's just bonehead decisions on the base pads. He can't get that right. Guys are letting balls drop in the outfield, and he can't help them with that. The effort for this team, there's no accountability. Do whatever you want. The players, the inmates, if you will, are running the asylum. And then this happened yesterday. Gabe Kapler is asked by the media about what they're going to do to get back on track. Here it is.
Where do you guys go from here? Maybe about 7 rows.
Go to work every single day. We don't stay the course, we make adjustments. So we're doing little things to get better. For instance, next week, first couple of days of the Mets series, we'll do some extra work on the field. We'll bring out a curveball machine and we'll bring out a live arm.
Curveball machine, fine. All right, that didn't strike me as weird. Fine, do whatever you got to do. I never heard about it used during the season. I heard it used as a spring training thing when guys' arms aren't ready to go and throw curveballs over and over again, whatever. So, yeah, okay. Now they want to bring it out during the regular season. All right, fine, do it. That's fine. Whatever it takes to win.
What's the possible harm from it?
Exactly. So then they go up to Bryce Harper. And I said this before, I'll say it again. I don't like playing audio that's more than like 30 seconds at most. This is about 50 seconds because I want everyone to get the full context of what was said. Here's the reporter asking Bryce Harper about the idea of bringing in a pitching machine to throw curveballs.
Gabe talked just a little bit a couple minutes ago about how he was going to bring in a machine to throw curveballs and maybe even somebody live to throw curveballs during BP and if extra work if people want it. How much does that go into maybe getting this turned around? How important is that kind of stuff?
I'm just trying to answer this. For me, I personally, I don't do that. I think for everybody else, if they want to do that, then that's on them. It's everybody gets the ball at 5:00 usually, so it's usually 7:05 when the game starts. You got to get better and you got to play. You got to work hard and have good at bats. And if the guy's going to throw a curveball in there, you better be able to hit it. you know, but if guys want to get extra work and, you know, get that in, then, you know, we're going to do that.
If you only heard one thing in that, I think you heard Bryce Harper laughing at his manager and the idea of bringing in a curveball machine. The other thing you probably heard was Bryce not saying, sure, whatever it takes, which I would have loved for him to say, but he took another route. He paused, laughed, paused again. Trying to find the right words that wouldn't come off as if he was hanging his manager out to dry. What is there any more damning thing than a player laughing at a manager that has already appeared to lose control of his clubhouse? Is there anything that could possibly be more damning?
At face value, no. I mean, really, no. You listen to that, and it's you know, when I heard it, I thought he was kind of like, really? That's what we're grasping at?
Mm-hmm.
And you took it to it. Yeah, it is. He's laughing at an idea by his manager.
Yeah, because he's killing the ball right now.
I know, Trey. Yeah. I hear you. I'm with you. But
he's killing it.
If you're also, like, imagine John. I was texting with a buddy of mine during the game last night. I was texting with a buddy, and he goes, "I'm not a fire Gabe guy, but it's really getting tough." And he goes, and the biggest thing is that, and we were talking about Klentak and a lot of what we've already talked about and how Klentak's not going to fire the guy he just hired a year and a half ago, whatever, his first hire. But if you're John Middleton and these are the conversations being had and this is how your team is looking and you've just invested with the Buck Cousins this much money in your lineup for Bryce Harper and your manager is like now trying to tinker and it's only getting worse. And now your $330 million investment is laughing at your skipper. How do you just stand pat and not do anything?
So, okay, so you say, all right, you're going to bring in another coach. What happens if Bryce Harper laughs at his suggestion again? So then what?
Oh, no,
you fire another one?
You're right. No, you're absolutely right. And that's, again, why I don't go down the path of fire the manager. But now you have a guy laughing at him. Like, how are you supposed to not have that thought?
So you have to find a coach that Bryce Harper will respond to.
Well, here's the thing, and I know it's not a sexy name, but it's the guy that I would go to if I'm the Phillies. If I move on, I go to Dusty Wathan. And I know that's not a sexy name, minor league manager, whatever. They're under 500 when he managed the AAA, but Reese likes him. Scott Kingery likes him. Like, these are guys that played for him and kind of came up with him through the minor league system. Roman Quinn even played with him. I'm not saying this guy's going to turn it around, but that would be a way for Reese Hoskins. That would be a way for Reese Hoskins to take more ownership of this team. Because I think he's a guy that would want to play more for a guy like Dusty Wathan than he would Gabe Kapler.
Well, then that's bad on him.
97.5 The Fanatic.